As I said, next to salvation, this is my absolute favorite work of the Holy Spirit that we have come to today. I have saved it until last in our series, My Heart, Christ's Home. Because what I do not need is a list of rules. I need a list of rules, but that's not enough. I need to know right from wrong. I need God, the perfect standard of right and wrong, to tell me right and wrong. I need the rules, but it's not enough. If God just gives me rules, all that's going to happen is I'm going to fail to keep those rules. I need more. I need the real Dave to be changed. Not this. This is just a box. This is not Dave. I'm in here. I'm in here, and I need the real Dave to be changed. I need to be transformed. I need to be healed. I need to be repaired from sin's damage. And I am so happy to talk about this today. Number one in your notes, the Holy Spirit frees our hearts. The Holy Spirit frees our hearts. What do I mean by that? Number two, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and changes you from a sinner in bondage to a saint in progress. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and changes you from a sinner in bondage to a saint in progress. What do I mean by that? Number three. We will be slowing down, by the way. But number three, when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, when the Holy Spirit comes into my heart, you and I are set free from sin as the controlling power and love of your life. That is salvation. And that is awesome. That is awesome. I need to be saved from the penalty of sin, which is an eternity in hell. But I need more than that. I need to be saved from the power of sin right here and right now. Because when I was born into this world, I was a sinner. Sin ruled my life, and there was nothing I could do to break its power. No matter how much human effort I brought to the table, sin would always win. But when Jesus Christ sends his Holy Spirit into my heart, I am set free from slavery to sin. Would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6. Romans is such a fantastic book. I hope that all of you will read the book of Romans over and over and over again. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This is a new Dave Gordon. The old Dave Gordon, the slave to sin, no longer exists. 5. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you should obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from the dead to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of unrighteousness, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Such a wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Sin is no longer my master. And if you are my brother or sister here today, sin is no longer your master. Look with me on the screen at 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. When we are born of God, we are set free from sin's slavery. Listen carefully. You are not perfected. You are not made perfect. You and I, unfortunately, will still struggle with sin. But sin will not be the overall pattern of your life, like it was before. You are no longer a sinner in bondage. You are a saint in progress. You are not perfected. We will still sin, but we are completely different people. Look quickly at 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 on the screen. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. We used to be like that. That's what we used to be. Sin was the way we lived. But when the Holy Spirit came into our hearts, we were changed. Praise God. Are you thankful for that? Yes. Praise God. This is such a wonderful part of Christianity, to live in freedom from sin's dominion. I look at my neighbors. I look at the people on the street. I look at the people in the store. I look at the people I run into out in the city of Indio, and I can see that though I am far from perfect, I am different from them. I am different from them. I sin less than they do. And when I do, something wonderful happens. The Holy Spirit points it out to me. I ask God to help me with my sin. And unlike non-Christians, unlike the people in the world, I can look back on my life. I can look back on my life, and though I am not what I should be, though I am not what I want to be, though I still struggle with sin, Unlike the people in the world, I can look back on my life and know that I sin far less than I did a decade ago. It's awesome. The Holy Spirit in my life means that He has given me a distaste for sin. And He gives me victory over it. Sin is not my master. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can overcome temptation and live for God. Look at Romans 8, 9 on the screen. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. My question to you, brothers and sisters, is what sin is still controlling you? What sin is still controlling you? Is it sex? Is it anger, greed, selfishness, pride, fear, grumbling and complaining? What sin is still controlling you? What Satan wants you to believe is that is just who you are. Haven't you heard people say that? Maybe you've said it yourself. You know, I got a bad temper, and that's just who I am. That's just who I am. I have this sin problem, and that's just who I am. That's not true. That's who you were. The Holy Spirit has changed you. You are a new person. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to live above sin. What you need to do is forsake the sin and embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. You're in Romans 6 in your Bible, I trust. Let's finish Romans 6 up. Start verse 15. Romans 6. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Amen. The Holy Spirit frees our hearts. Next in your notes, the Holy Spirit cleans our hearts. The Holy Spirit cleans our hearts. This process, Bible scholars call sanctification. Sanctification. It is a lifelong process. Sanctification is the Holy Spirit changing our hearts and making us more and more like God in holiness and purity. You see, as I said earlier, sin has corrupted you and me. Sin has corrupted us. And that's the right word, because when you have a computer and it doesn't work, let's say the hard drive is damaged, what word do we use to describe that? Corrupt. We say the hard drive is corrupted. Well, my heart, your heart, like a corrupted hard drive, does not work properly because of sin. God's plan for the Christian is to restore us, to repair us, to repair our hearts so that we have hearts like Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God that he wants to repair my heart. Praise God that he wants to repair your heart. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Romans chapter 8, 12 through 14, and then we'll skip to verse 28. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Verse 28. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. That's his plan for you and me, that we would be like Jesus Christ. Verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. God's plan for us is to make us like Jesus. Jesus is the perfect human. He's not corrupted. Christ is the model of what humanity was supposed to be. Sin is corruption. Sin is damage. Sin is perverted humanity. And Christ is our perfect role model because he is the only human ever to live that is totally free of corruption. You and I have been created to glorify God. We've been created to display his goodness and greatness. Sin has corrupted us and damaged our ability to display God's greatness. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts to clean us up and build us into beautiful people that display the glory of God. We must cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he cleans us up. Look at Ephesians 4:22 on the screen. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Would you turn, please, to Colossians chapter 3? Colossians 3, 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its evil practices. This list is the junk that sin has put in my heart. It is the junk. Look at verse 10. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The new self is being renewed in the image of its creator. The new self is made to be like Christ. The Holy Spirit in your heart, the Holy Spirit in my heart, is making me more and more like Christ. The Holy Spirit in your heart is little by little cleaning the sin out of your heart. He is transforming you, and he is making you more and more holy. He's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So, of course, the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that produces holiness in our hearts. Are you grateful? Are you grateful that he's taking away that junk and giving you wonderful, wonderful fruit? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Incredible verse. Complicated verse, but incredible verse. Look at 18 again. First of all, he's talking about Moses. You remember this. Moses is on the mountain. He talks to God. He comes down from talking to God, and he's got a veil over his face. Why? Because he's been in the presence of God. His face is bright from the presence of God. He's got a veil over his face. So that's what it's talking about. Now look at verse 18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Just like Moses' face shined from being in the presence of God, my heart is shining brighter and brighter and brighter because the Holy Spirit is there. What an awesome work. Thank you, Lord, for changing my heart. Perhaps you've seen the show Extreme Home Makeover. Extreme Home Makeover. I want you to think of your heart as a house. Think of my heart as a house. God is the master craftsman. You notice I didn't say that God is that guy. Move that butt. That's not God. God is the master craftsman. God creates this beautiful house. Brand new. My heart. But then sin comes in and corrupts me. Anger in my heart could represent leaky pipes or plumbing. Sexual lust and sexual sin in my heart could be bad electrical wiring. Bitterness and hatred in my heart could be peeling paint or stucco. Pride in my heart is a leaky or bad roof. Selfishness in my heart could be like termites. Sin comes in and ruins the heart that God had made, and pretty soon this beautiful heart that God has made is trashed. That's what happened when Adam took that fruit and passed sin down to you and me. That's why we need salvation. Now, what do you do? What do? Your heart is a mess. And no matter what you do, you can't fix it. You can't fix it. No matter what government program, no matter what list of rules, no matter what group you join, no matter what you do, you can't fix it. So you finally, in desperation, look up to God and say, Jesus, save me. The Holy Spirit comes into your heart. And he does an extreme heart makeover. Again, my heart is like my house. The Holy Spirit comes in and I get a new roof. Humility. I get new plumbing. Gentleness and meekness. I get new electrical wiring. Sexual purity. I get a new paint job. Love and forgiveness. The Holy Spirit, little by little, restores my heart and makes it like Christ. That is sanctification. It's a glorious work of the Holy Spirit. It's so wonderful, and yet another reason why you need Jesus. As I said in the beginning, Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. Christianity is not just a group of people who in their own effort reform themselves and try to be good. Trinity Baptist Church is not a group of people that just got together and said, hey, let's be good. Let's reform ourselves. Let's be good people. Jesus doesn't come down and say, here's the rules. No, when we embrace Christ, he comes to live in our hearts, and he changes us from the inside out. He restores us, he renovates us, and cleans us up. That is Christianity. Look at Romans 2, 28 through 29 on the screen. A man is not a Jew if he is one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. Look again at another verse on your screen, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Look at another verse, Galatians 4, 6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Look at another verse on the screen, Hebrews 10, 16. This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. One more, Hebrews 10, 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. That's what we need. Not just rules. We need a change of heart. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Now the question is, what specifically is the Lord Jesus cleaning out of our hearts? And what specifically is he putting in? Galatians 5, 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so they do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Those horrible things listed in verses 19 through 21 are the rotting, stinking, putrid results of a damaged, polluted heart. Look at the list again. Verse 19. Acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, which is unlimited lust or shamelessness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord or lack of unity, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, quite a list. These characteristics are the disgusting, gross, rotting fruit of a damaged, corrupted heart. My question to you is this: how do you view sin? Is this your view of sin? Is this what you think of it? Because this is the truth. Sin is the stinking, molding results of a corrupted heart. That's what it is. I'm sick. I hope you can't tell. But I'm ill right now. I'd sat in the back during the greeting time because I didn't want to expose everyone. If you've shaken my hand today, you should probably wash your hand before we go to the potluck. I am sick right now. And you know you've been sick. I've been sick. But you know when you're sick, you've got junk in your nose. You've got junk in your throat. And it wants to come out. So your body sneezes and sneezes and coughs and coughs. And that junk is there in the sink. And it's gross and it's disgusting. That is sin. That is what sin is. It's the junk inside. Sin is junk in your heart. When you think unchristian thoughts, when you say unchristian words, when you do unchristian things, it is that rotting, putrid, decaying sin coming out. When you lose your temper and say something unkind to someone else, do you listen to those words coming out of your mouth and go, "Oh, Holy Spirit, take that out of my heart"? Do you recognize that it is sin? Greed, selfishness, sexual sin. These things are the corroded, decomposing filth of a dirty heart. When you give in to sin, do you recognize what it is? Praise God. The Holy Spirit is cleaning that stuff out of us. Let's keep looking at the passage. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those things are the beautiful, clean, clear, colorful, ripe, sweet, fresh fruit of a clean heart. My question to you Do you long for those things? Do you long for holiness? Brothers and sisters, what I want most of all is my heart to be cleaned up. Do you long for those things? Will you sing this song with me real quick from your heart? Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Amen. Amen. What should your response be? What should your response be to this wonderful work of the Holy Spirit? Number 5, and the last point in your notes, gratefully treasure and embrace the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Gratefully treasure and embrace the Holy Spirit's work in your life. First of all, be grateful. The Holy Spirit is cleaning the junk out of your heart. Wow, thank you, God. Thank you for helping me. I hate the sin that is left in my heart. I long for righteousness. I long for your purity. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for setting me free from sin's power and the slavery in my life. The unsaved person has no hope. They are controlled and enslaved by sin. There is nothing they can do. We have been set free. Praise God for delivering me from sin. What should your response be? First of all, be thankful. Second of all, treasure the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Value it. Think about this. If I gave you a choice right now, every one of you can come up here, and I will either give you $10 million tax-free, or the Holy Spirit will clean sin out of your life. What would you choose? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Oh, may he continue to clean the junk out of my heart. Value it. Embrace it. Gratefully treasure it, value it, and embrace it. What does embrace it mean? Very simple. Very simple. Cooperate. Yield to his work. Don't hold on to sin, Trinity Baptist. No matter how much you cherish it, you must realize that the sin in your life is garbage. It is sewage. It is waste. Whatever the sin is in your life, recognize it as the stinking, rotting filth of a polluted heart and let it go. What is the sin? What sin, brothers and sisters, what sin is still stinking up your life? Where is your heart still polluted? I'm done talking. You've got your scriptures open to Galatians 5. Carrie, come and play on your keyboard for just a little bit, please. You've got your Bibles open to Galatians 5. Just take a few minutes. Look over Look over verses 16 through 23. Or you can go back to Colossians 3, 1 through 16. Look over it and pray. And then we'll close our service. You just look over the scriptures and pray.